we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM one more time. Here we are we are at the end of January of 2018. It's hard to believe how quickly these months come and go, especially these long months. You've got another cooler morning out there today, and I think it's supposed to warm up and be a relatively nice day. But if you don't like cold weather, you might be wearing your parka with your hood on there. I don't know. But we pray that you are having a good day today. We're going to be in the Word of God. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. And today we're going to be talking about faithfulness in real life application. Faithfulness in real life application. But before we get to that, I'd like to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Mr. Anderson, the person that I know from there, I mean, I know the whole family and everything, but, I see him on Sunday morning, and I was talking to him this week, and he said that there is, they've got so much work right now, that there's so much construction going on. And so this time I'm going to tell you, maybe you don't have a project that you are working on right now. Maybe you've got a concrete or a block job that you need to take care of here in several weeks or a couple of months out. You want to be going ahead and giving them a call, 321-536-5804, to see about getting yourself on the schedule so that you do not run into an unexpected delay. I know that my parents are working on a project in Oklahoma. And they're currently just in a holding pattern. They're in a holding pattern that's going to cause them to have to file an extension on their building permit simply because somebody else is their process takes longer than what was expected. So I don't want you to be thinking, you know what, I'll be able to have this project done, and then you go to try and find a concrete person. And you say, well, I've heard about Jits Concrete on there on the Refresh Radio program. You give them a call, and they say, well, we can get to you in a couple of months. Thank God that there is building going on, but you want to give them a call now if you've got something planned in the days ahead. 321-536-5804. They've got decades of experience here in Brevard County, and they will do a wonderful job for you, just like they have done for Merritt Assembly of God. So, the past couple of days, we have talked about the faithfulness of God. There is one more verse in there, and I'm not going to touch on it too much here today, but I'll just mention it. And I was really excited about yesterday's program, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and then moving on to the end of the verse, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I pray that in 2018, that God, who is faithful, will strengthen the church in Brevard County beyond what our natural capabilities are, beyond what anybody else thinks that we are capable of doing. May we receive strength to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. So that was yesterday's. 1 Peter 4:19 says this, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." And no matter what you are going through right now, I want to encourage you to do this, and that is to commit your soul to him, your mind, your will, your emotions, your circumstances, your finances. Commit everything that you have to him in doing good, because he is a faithful creator. You see, he didn't just create the world in Genesis chapter 1 and then say, you know what, I think I'm retiring from creation. The Bible says that you and I, when we become children of God, that in Christ we are a new creation. And every day someone is giving their heart, their life, their problems, their victories to Jesus, and he is becoming the Lord of their life, and he is creating them to be a new species of being that had never existed before. I still remember Russ Taff with the Imperials singing that song, I'm a New Creation, all the way back when I was just a teenager, and what a profound impact that song made on my life. To realize that what you were in the past does not have to be who you are in the future. God can make you into a completely different type of being where you were maybe victimized all your life. God can make you more than a conqueror through him who loved you. And so I just encourage you today, commit everything that you have, everything that you are going through to him, all your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions, your highs, your lows, your victories, your failures, your disappointments, your setbacks. Put all of that into his hand, because he is faithful to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. I also love that verse. So today, I encourage you to commit it. I will tell you that stage of commitment, that act of committing something unto the Lord, is absolutely crucial in God's eyes. One of the things that was a monumental breakthrough at Merit Assembly of God, now, you know, if your church's income went up by $25,000, it might not be a monumental breakthrough for your church, but when our church income was only $24,000 and it went up $25,000 in 1 year, and mainly it went up in 8 months, when it went up like that, that was a monumental breakthrough for us. And it was because God had asked us to step out and take a step of obedience. And when we did that, when we made that commitment, before we had even begun to act on the commitment yet, that there was already a breakthrough. And so I want to encourage you today to make the commitment to God as a faithful creator and watch what happens. You will find that whatever you have given to God, that God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You see, you will never outgive God. You will never outcommit God. He gave his son to die on the cross for you. And so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this verse. I just want to put that out there for you today, that God is a faithful creator, And, you know, so many times, I shared this at Christmas time, that many times when we are looking at the timing of, you know, Jesus' birth, that many people want to go back and they want to look for natural indications of what happened that would motivate the wise men to leave their homes and come in search of a king. And you know, there very well could be. There could be a natural phenomena that took place. But it doesn't just describe that star as a star. It describes it as his star. And there is nothing that would hinder God from creating a star specifically for that moment to indicate where Jesus was, to indicate that it was the King of the Jews that was being born, to indicate to the wise men, wherever they were, hundreds or thousands of miles away, that said, you know what? It is time for us to take a journey because we have seen his star. God is not limited by our natural resources. He is Creator God. He is Creator. Jeremiah chapter 18 talks about the potter working the clay, and when he worked the clay, he found a blemish in it, a mar. And the King James says this: he made it again another. He recreated it. He created it, but this time without the blemish. He created it this time without the stone, without the hardness inside of it. He made it again. It was the same, but it was brand new. And I can tell you that I have seen people's lives that this faithful Creator God has operated in. And yes, they look like the same person that they always did. They have the same face. They have the same DNA, but they're an entirely different person than they were before they met Christ. They are not just different from a spiritual standpoint as far as their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are a different person because they think different, they act different, they love different, they are not controlled by the same things that they were controlled by before. They are a brand new human being. And you can look at that in the physical sense as well and say, you know what? God is able to create in my broken body a brand new part if necessary. God is that kind of creator. So that was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 19. I want to take you, like I said, to some practical applications today. And we're going to touch on one. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. And as we do, I want to set the stage for you. We're going to be in verse number 15. To set the stage for you, there was Ahab and Jezebel that had ruled Israel for a long time. They ruled in wickedness, and Jezebel's mother, there came a king to the throne named Ahaziah, and his mother was Athaliah. Ahaziah was killed in a conflict, and Athaliah decided that she was going to ascend to the throne rather than allowing someone else to rule. She decided that she was going to murder all of the king's sons, and the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, this is in chapter 11, and stole him away from the king's sons who were being murdered, and they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah, so he was not killed. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Verse number 4, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the bodyguards and the escorts. And to make a long story short, he orchestrates this escort of Jehoiada. Jehoiada was the one who escorted it. And he ends up bringing out Joash, or Jehoash as he's known in other places, and he establishes him as king. Athaliah says it's treason, and they end up removing her from office and establishing Jehoash as king. And that was all taken place under the leadership and the guidance of the high priest who was named Jehoiada. He had saved Jehoash's life. He saved his life, hid him until the time was right where he could ascend to the throne of God. That brings us to 2 Kings chapter 12. So it was a noble thing. It was a faithful thing what the high priest Jehoiada did. In chapter 12, let's begin reading there. It says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba, Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which the Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the money that a man purposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it themselves, each from his constituency, and let them repair the damages of the temple wherever any dilapidation is found. Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Jehoash that the priests had not repaired the damages of the temple. So King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now therefore do not take more money from your constituency, but deliver it for the repairing of the damages of the temple. And the priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priests who kept the door put there all the money brought into the house of the Lord. So it was, whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, then the king's scribe and the high priest came up and put it in bags and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damage of the house of the Lord, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the trespass offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord. It belonged to the priest. So where Jehoiada had acted with great faithfulness in preserving the lineage of the king and preparing Jehoash to rule and reign and restore the line of David to the throne of Judah, he was not diligently faithful in repairing the house of the Lord. Now, I know that there are a lot of churches that have beautiful facilities and very thankful for all of that. But there are also a lot of churches that need some love, some TLC. Okay. And our church has been one of those. We still got some projects and we're going to be working on those. I thought I was going to be working on those in January until life happened. But you don't want to be the type of person that neglects the house of the Lord, especially when the resources are there to take care of that problem. And so it was not a lack of finance. It was a lack of diligence. And this can be something that not only takes place in the priesthood or with pastors, but this is something that can also take place with people in the pews where, you know, Haggai talks about a time when the temple was in tatters, was in a state of disrepair, and yet the people of Jerusalem were living in very nice houses. And Haggai said, there is something wrong with this picture. There is something wrong with this picture. And so I want to ask you, not so much about your faithfulness to the Lord, but I want to ask you your faithfulness. Are you faithful in the area of your responsibilities? Are you faithful in your area of finances? Are you faithfully appropriating the resources that need to be appropriated? Are you faithful not just to your house, but to the house of the Lord? Because I'm pretty sure there's probably something that could be done. You know, if you wanted to volunteer, I'm sure there's something that could be done around your church. I'm sure that there's a ministry someplace that could use some more volunteers. I'm sure that, in fact, a couple of months ago, I was at a church, and after the event was over, I saw the pastor and I saw the staff of the church. And this is a large church, and they were there, doing the teardown, and I'm sure they also did the setup. And I commented to one person, and she said, "Pastor, you know that in every church that only about 15% of the people do the majority of the work." It's like, well, I was kind of hoping that maybe that wasn't the reality. And I've seen a church where there's a church that runs 10,000 people, and I saw the pastor one day, and he got a massive, massive staff and support structure there, and I saw him taking care of some really menial tasks, and I said, "You're not encouraging me right now, because I was kind of hoping we would, you'd be able to get to that place." And he said, "Well, I just happened to be walking by and saw this, and I thought I would take care of it." So I want to encourage you today. Don't be like Jehoiada, who was faithful with the spiritual aspect, but he wasn't all that faithful in the practical aspects of life, the financial aspects, the diligence to make sure that the house of the Lord was taken care of. I encourage you, don't get to that place where you are complacent with something being in a state of disrepair. Okay? If there's a reason that it's not repaired, that's one thing. Now, at Merit Assembly of God, for the past 25 years, we have paid for our repairs as we go. That's before I came, there was a balloon note that was owed on the church, and the district ended up having to come in and pay that off, and then we had to pay the district back. So I can understand if you don't have the resources that you might not be able to take care of something to the best of your ability. But if the resources are there, then you want to go ahead and take care of that. Now, a long time ago, I was working on something at the church, and we, for the first several years that we were there, we had a really difficult time maintaining the temperature in the sanctuary. We had turned the air conditioner actually on Friday night so it would cool it all during Saturday so it wouldn't get quite as hot, and then it would be comfortable for Sunday morning, but then by Sunday night in the summertime, it would be 82 degrees. And so I was working up in the drop ceiling, and there was no insulation up there. And I said, I had a conversation with God right up there on the ladder. And I said, "God, why is it that that nobody put any insulation in this attic?" And, at that point in time, I really wasn't expecting a correct or a rebuke in the answer. And I was up there and I was looking for a pat on the head, for a woe is me moment. And all of a sudden God said, "Well, I've blessed you with the resources to put insulation in up there. Why haven't you done it yet?" And I got down off of the ladder and I went to Home Depot, which is just a couple of blocks away from the church. And naturally they didn't have the insulation that we needed that night, but I was able to order it. It came in a couple of days later, and I set about to put an insulation in there, and it's made the church a lot more comfortable. If you don't have the resources, it's one thing if something's not being taken care of, but if you do have the resources, don't just be making excuses for it. Demonstrate faithfulness, especially when the house of God is being taken care of. God's house deserves our best. So the king comes along, this king that Jehoiada had spared his life, had positioned him on the throne, who had guided him in all of his ways. And Jehoash comes and he says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to remove this responsibility from you. And they created an alternative plan. They took a chest. They bored a hole in the lid of it. People would come in. They would put the money in. And then they had an accountability system. There would be a scribe that would come along and a priest that would come along. And they would count the money. And then they would put it into the hands of those who had oversight, who were supervisors of the construction on the house of the Lord. And they, it goes on and says in verse number 15 that they acted with such faithfulness. Listen to this. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Now, I will tell you that because we live in such a corrupt society where we are used to seeing people act with unfaithfulness, what that tends to do is it tends to give you a bias where you do not trust anyone. You want an accountability from everybody as to how things are being spent. I can tell you that I am much more concerned. Now, we have financial reports. We don't have any slush funds or anything like that. We account for every penny. I've got an office manager that takes care of all of that. And I will tell you, we have an annual business meeting where we demonstrate the faithful stewardship of God's resources from the previous year. And the reason that we are able to do that without fear or trepidation is because I'm much more concerned about giving an account to God about my faithfulness in His finances than I am in fear of having to give an account to men. I don't want to be guilty of misappropriating God's funds. You might be able to fool some people, but you're not going to be able to fool God. And when you read the book of Acts and you see Ananias and Sapphira, you realize that you're not going to be able to pull the wool over God's eyes. And sometimes those actions have traumatic effect. So I want to encourage you to be faithful spiritually, but I also want to encourage you to be faithful to God's house and faithfully appropriate the resources that you have. Don't settle for giving God your second best or your leftovers. Be faithful. Be faithful in your finances. Be faithful in your work. Be faithful in what you do, and you will see a good reward for your work. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.